Saturday, January 9th, Linda and I went up on the hill to Wright Patman's luncheon for the Texas delegation. Wives, children, and grandchildren, honoring the three new members. Earl Cabell, who unseated Alger of Dallas, one of the most well-savored victories of the Democratic season. The Richard Whites of El Paso, who defeated Foreman. His wife is a distant cousin of Lyndon's. She was named Huffman before she married. And her father used to be my daddy's lawyer. Once again, comes under the small world apartment. And cute little Kika de la Garza from the Valley, who took Joe Kilgore's place. I made it around the room, had pictures taken with everybody, I hope. Loved seeing them all. Think it's dear of Wright to do it because, as Linda says, this town was designed for congressmen and their wives and not their children, and their children seldom join in any family affairs. The speaker graciously came in and had nice words of greeting to the group. And then Linda and I returned to the White House for a long afternoon with clothes spelled with a capital C. The official pictures of my inaugural gown, which we had at first described as yellow rose, the simplest of understated jonquil yellow satin dress and matching full-length coat with sable cuffs, and the red ensemble for the big day, the swearing-in day, dress and matching coat in heavier wool with a tiny bit of fur under the chin. There were innumerable pictures in the yellow room, a few on the balcony with the Washington Monument in the background and the chill wind blowing rain around my shoulders. And then downstairs in front of Martha in the East Room with a delightful interruption by Biddle Duke, at which point we had our pictures made together. Linda, bless her, obliged in both her costumes. But Lucy firmly planted her feet and said, "Mother, I've been working 12 years to pass these grades, and now I'm having my finals, and if I take off a half a day to do this, I may not even graduate in June." Lucy, the lover of clothes. I just hope she shows up with everything intact at the last moment, because after struggling with it for days and days, I'm leaving her on her own. Robin helped us find just the right place to pose, and herself took some pictures. When it was over, I went to Lyndon's office suggesting people for dinner, and to my surprise, found him in his small room, covered with a blanket, with the light out, and apparently asleep. It startled me. I think fatigue has finally begun to build up in him. I know for myself, I've been sleeping deliciously, like one drugged, and several mornings have not waked up before 9 or even 9:30. He thought it would be nice to ask some home folks, like the Brooks or the Pickles, for dinner. I went back and called them, and we had an early, easy, pleasant evening with old friends, and then I watched Gunsmoke. There's a dock worker strike impending. You would think Lyndon was carrying the whole economy of the country on his shoulders, the way he feels such a responsibility for the maintenance of today's prosperity. Perhaps that, even more than just sheer hours of work, is what made him lay down on the couch.